What does our diet have to do with climate change?
So our diet and our agriculture is very much connected to what's happening to the climate and climate disruption. It's a huge piece of the puzzle of all the factors going into climate change. There's, so many different aspects to it, but what we're learning and what we're finding is that animal agriculture, in particular, is very impactful on climate change, much more impactful than plant farming. We're seeing that across the board. Not only do the animals themselves contribute to climate change just through their rumination, so the cows and other ruminants, goats and sheep will, it's mostly their burping, their chewing of the cud. It creates methane naturally, but because we have bred them in such huge numbers, this methane is contributing to the climate change, climate disruption. But beyond just that, there's so many other aspects. So all the excrement that is piled up on the dairy farm, on the chicken farms, that creates nitrous oxide and other greenhouse gases that are absolutely impactful as well on global warming. So all that excrement and just the energy intensive production of animal farming. Animal farming creates so much more energy waste, fossil fuel use than compared to plant farming. There's, the mechanized processes of the dairy facility, of the slaughterhouse, having to wash down all that equipment and just the mechanization, the refrigeration, the freezing. There's so much more energy in the production of animal products compared to plants. So we really, if you want to reduce your carbon footprint, you want to help with climate change, with climate disruption, and actually environmental organizations are really starting to come on board. They're really starting to see that this is a huge piece of the climate change puzzle and what things that we need to do, and that is to reduce and eliminate animal products and switch to a global plant-based diet. It's going to really, really help. And the beautiful thing about it is that we won't need government involvement. We don't need, policy change. We don't need billions of dollars. All it takes is making a different choice at the grocery store. That's all. That's all. And we can all do that. We can all make a difference, and we can all have a wonderful, really impactful, impact to change and improve climate change and climate disruption. So I hope we make that choice.
Please describe the difference in an individual carbon footprint when someone decides to buy organic versus when someone decides to become vegan.
Organic, I'll start by saying that organic, of all the labels we, see out there that are supposed to be better for the environment, we see free range, we see sustainable, there's, labels out there. None of those labels are regulated. None of those labels really mean anything. Organic is really the only one that does have some standards, some impact. And it can be a lot of impact, especially with plant farming. With plant farming, organic is a great thing, reducing our pesticide use and synthetics and all that. However, when we're talking about animal products, so the only difference with an animal product that is organic is that the feed that is fed to the animals is organic, pesticide-free, and the animals are generally drug-free as well. It's the only difference. There's so many other impacts and inputs with dairy, with animal products that are not addressed with organic. The methane that's coming from the cows themselves, the nitrous oxide coming from the piles of excrement, the energy intensiveness of the process, none of that is addressed in organic, the organic label. So I'll give an example. You could be at the store and you see there's a tomato that's not organic and maybe not even local. It came from Mexico. And you think, oh my goodness, that tomato has got a huge impact. I won't go for that. How about this local dairy product that's organic? Organic local dairy product. That's got to have less impact, right? No, not at all. Because animal products are just so much more intensive in energy-wise, impact-wise. There's so many more factors that go into a dairy product and that make it more impactful environmentally. So unfortunately, just because something is organic is not necessarily mean that it's better for the environment, for the animals, for your health, for anything. So the best thing to do is to reduce and eliminate animal products altogether and eat organic plants, organic plant food.
Please explain how a dairy cow is grown from the beginning to their death.
So a dairy cow's life is very sad and very miserable from the very beginning because he or she is going to be dragged away from their mother at birth. And she will never know the love and security of a mother. She will always be scared and mourning for her mother. It's a horrible way to start life. If she's a little girl, she will be taken to the other side of the dairy farm or far away from her mother and put in a calf hutch. They're kind of like it looks like a white plastic doghouse. She'll be chained there or pinned there. Separated from other cows, from her mother, from anyone, in all weather, whether it be freezing, whether it be hot, doesn't matter, all conditions of weather. And she will be fed a soy formula or a non-milk formula. Believe it or not, they don't even get milk. Sometimes there is some low quality milk that's mixed in, but she'll get a formula that that is not the natural, where she should be drinking her mother's milk, from her mother's udder. She'll never experience that. And she will be raised that way until she is old enough for her first artificial insemination. These cows are kept pregnant because, of course, when they are pregnant is the only time that they are lactating, and when they give birth, then they will give milk. And so artificial insemination is a horrible process. It's, that none of these animals breed naturally anymore. Hardly any of the species breed naturally, and certainly not cows. For artificial insemination, there are steers, bulls, and other areas that are masturbated for their sperm. And then the sperm is put into a sperm gun. That's what the device is called, a very long metal device that is inserted into her vagina. And then the farmer will actually insert his arm into the cow's rectum to manipulate her inside as they insert the sperm, so that there's more chance of her being impregnated. It's just really such a violation and such a brutal process. And I encourage anyone that wants to, learn about it to go to YouTube and watch a video of artificial insemination. It's really a horrible process. And so she is pregnant. The conditions are terrible. There's confinement, there is misery, there is very little natural life that she's experiencing, hardly ever in the outside. And as soon as she gives birth, that baby's taken away just like she was. And she does not get to experience being a mother, having that protective, loving exchange with her offspring. It's horrible. And then she will be milked numerous times a day. They give way more milk than they would naturally. They have been manipulated, genetically manipulated, to give so much more milk than what would be natural. And it's, it's a brutal, horrible process that she will have to endure for a few years, but it will still be a fraction of her lifespan. Cows can live to be 20 to 25 years old. She will go to slaughter before her fifth birthday. Dairy cows rarely see their third or fourth or fifth birthday. So it's a really horrible, horrible system that we support with every yogurt, with every, cream cheese, with every cottage cheese. And all of these dairy products can be found non-dairy now from plant sources. There's so much wonderful non-dairy milks. If you don't like one, try another. There's almond milk and oat milk and hemp milk and just anything you can think of, coconut milk. It's truly amazing the options that are out there. So I really encourage everyone to try non-dairy milks, non-dairy yogurts, and please don't support the horrible, torturous dairy industry.